close to God to a non-believer who don't believe in anything. Will he make it out alive? Alright, alright. No church in the wild.
Tears on the mausoleum floor. Blood stains the Colosseum doors. Lies on the lips of a priest. Thanksgiving disguised as a feast. Rolling in the Rolls Royce Caniche. Only the doctors got this, I'm hiding from police. Cocaine seats, all white like I got the whole thing bleached. Drug dealer chic. I'm wondering if a thug's prayers reach. It's pious, pious, for God loves pious. Socrates asks whose bias do y'all seek. Off Plato. I'm out here ballin', I know you hear my sneaks. Jesus was the carpenter, Yeezy, lay beats. Hobo flow, the Holy Ghost, get the hell up out your seats. Preach.
Human beings in a mob. What's a mob to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer? Who don't believe in
guys for coming back. Welcome to episode 12 of Tay's Tidbits. Rest in peace, Heavy D. That's my song. I'm aging myself. I don't care. I've said how old I am on this show, so y'all already know. How are you guys? I hope you're well. I hope that this episode finds you in good spirits. Happy birthday shout out to my lovely sweet friend Jessica, even though when this comes out, her birthday will be past, but today is her birthday. So happy birthday, Jess. Love you so much. Happy birthday to my other sis, Thea. All these Aries women in my life. I could deal with Aries women all day, but the men, y'all gonna have to stay away from me. So I hope that you guys have had a good, I guess, couple weeks. Thank you for being patient with me. I took a week off in between episode 11 and 12. So I appreciate your patience as always and your support in the interim. I'm here today. I'm in great spirits. I'm so excited because we as a collective celebrated 1,000 downloads. 1,000 times you picked up your phone, your laptop, your fucking tablet, and press play on this damn podcast. Man, oh my goodness. Y'all are so dope. Yeah, shout out to y'all for real. This show is nothing without your support. I'm honestly blown away. Still hard to believe that October 13th, 2020, episode one dropped, and that we are at 12 episodes, and you guys are still behind me, still supporting, still listening. I really, really appreciate it, as always. Shout out to everybody listening for the first time. Welcome to this ride that I call Tay's Tidbits. Tay is my nickname, so that's where that came from. Just little tidbits of information, stories, lessons, things that I've been through, things that I've experienced, things that I've learned. So that is where the name comes from. Speaking of the name, it is also registered with the state of Georgia as an LLC. Yes. Amazing. Amazing. All because you guys believe in this show. You purchase the merch. You support. You repost. You share. You tweet. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. The listeners of this show are amazing. I love each one of you deeply, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. 1,000 total downloads. Unbelievable. So we're here today. As typical, I was given the topic for today's episode and fought against it very, very hard. I know that I come in here and that I'm open, I'm transparent, I'm vulnerable. And I do so because I promised you guys from the very beginning that I would, and I will remain true to this brand. And to remain true to this brand, I have to stay in that lane. But I have to be honest, it's not always easy for me to do so. There are things that I talk about on this show that people do not know about me, even people who are super close to me. So it's always a risk. So I have to be honest with you guys. Sometimes I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it, but there's no other way. There's no other way. So we're here today. I want to discuss forgiveness, but I want to discuss the forgiveness of ourselves, self-forgiveness. This is a very new concept for me. I don't think that forgiveness is something that we, outside of spiritual practices, are taught growing up or even, you know, in our adulthood. I don't believe that we teach one another the importance of self-forgiveness. And while I was going through therapy and putting the pieces of the puzzle together as they pertain to my childhood, I thought that that was the main reason why I had the image of myself that I had, or why I felt the way that I felt about myself. What I didn't take into account was the fact that I had absolutely no concept of forgiveness for myself, and how that also played a part in the image and the idea and the esteem and the, all of those things, the way that I saw myself, the way that I treated myself, and the way that I felt about myself. So it wasn't until I learned, number one, what self-forgiveness is not. So let's talk about that first. Just from a personal perspective, I thought that if I did something wrong, and I did not let it go, or if I did let it go, if I did not punish myself for it. And I've spoken about self-punishment on prior episodes. But if I did not beat myself up over it, punish myself for it, that it meant that it was okay. And so in doing that, I would find myself constantly replaying narratives from mistakes that I had made, things that I had done wrong, places I had fallen short. It was constant. It was over and over, because there was no allowance for human imperfection. And it was very, very normal for me. It wasn't until my therapist highlighted that was one of the reasons why I could not see myself differently. And I had to put those two things together with, okay, so the way that I, you know, the way that you see yourself, the way that you, you know, regard yourself, your self-esteem, and the fact that you will not allow yourself the grace, compassion, room to be human and to make mistakes, those two things are working. They're not help. It's not helping you. So then I was like, oh, okay. And I would still struggle because it was like, well, if I say that this is okay, or if I say that it's okay that I did this or I made this mistake, then I'm allowing myself the room to be a fuck up or to be a failure or to, you know, just constantly get it wrong. That was my logic. I had to work to realize that that was not the truth, and to realize that I was not benefiting myself at all from criticizing, judging, and holding on to every single thing that I did that I didn't deem to be excellent. That is not self-forgiveness. You know, okay, I mean, we could throw around examples all day of mistakes, of things that we do that are wrong. Quite frankly, sometimes we do things that are wrong. And it's not to say that it's, oh, well, you did something that's wrong. You know, whatever. But at the end of the day, even if we do something that's wrong, we can own it. We can speak it out loud. We can make amends and rectify it. And then we can forgive ourselves. Because we are human. And that's not an excuse, but that's the way that I thought for so long. Like, that's an excuse. I'm making an excuse. I'm not going to give myself excuses to not be my very best or do my very best or be excellent or be great, or the things that I would say in my mind that seemingly were positive. They weren't positive. They weren't positive. They weren't behooving me at all. It was just a bunch of chatter that fed into the narrative of me holding on to shit, criticizing myself, judging myself, and not letting things go. So once I was able to identify kind of how I was living, you know, the vein that I was moving in and what self-forgiveness was not, I had to start to work to figure out, well, what does self-forgiveness look like? And I think the first step for me was the grace tattoo that I have on my wrist. That was the very, very first step for me toward tiptoeing, because it was scary and it was unknown and unfamiliar. But that was the first step toward tiptoeing into this world that I had never, ever, ever in all of my years of existence been in. Did not know what that looked like. All I knew was you do something wrong, you punish yourself, you criticize yourself, you play it in your head over and over and over again, and you remind yourself of how inadequate and unworthy you are based on this mistake or fuck up or whatever. So there was a lot there. I knew that there was a lot that was attached to the reason why I had absolutely no concept of self-forgiveness and why I was conditioned to treat myself that way. But that was more so irrelevant for me, because what needed to happen was a shift in my thinking, and it needed to happen immediately. So I was less concerned about how I got there and more concerned about how the fuck do I get out of here? Like, I'm here. Okay, great. How do I get out of here? How do I get to another place? I need to make a pivot and I need to do it expeditiously, because I realized that this is the reason why I have all of these issues. I have to give myself a break. So, that is what self-forgiveness is not. And I also realized in that moment of urgency, because that's what it felt like to me. It was like being sick. And for me, Mucinex is my favorite medicine when I have a cough. I feel like it works so well. I remember when I was introduced to Mucinex, it was like, okay, well, if I have a cough, I'm going to get this medication. It was like somebody gave me the antidote for what I was going through and what I was suffering with. So I'm like, okay, this now, let's do it. It wasn't like the affirmations, right? I didn't buck against. I was like, oh no, I want to learn this now, because it made so much sense in my mind. I knew what that voice of criticism sounded like. It had been there for so long. So I was very familiar with her, and I knew exactly what it was like, a recording. I knew it. I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that I can figure out another way to deal with myself, to communicate with myself, to talk to myself, just another way of loving myself, because it is. Self-forgiveness is an act of self-love. And it is what we deserve, because none of us is going to go through this life without making mistakes. None of us is going to be exempt from disappointing people and, you know, not showing up 100% all of the time. It's gonna happen. Like, there's already enough hatred and pain and persecution in the world. It doesn't really benefit you or me to build upon what's negative, if that makes sense. Letting yourself radiate in love and learning to let go could be the decision, the best decision that you could ever make. And for some of us, it sounds very foreign, because we don't know any other way. And some of us don't even know that what we're doing is wrong. Like, for me, it was mistake, punishment. That was how I was raised. So I did not know that there was something better and that I was not doing myself any good by holding on to things that I had done, and I was missing out on so much peace. I didn't know that. I had no idea. I knew that it was exhausting. I knew it was incredibly exhausting to constantly hear this recording over and over and over. See, if you would have done this, then you would have done that. And this happened because you didn't do this. And blah, blah, blah. And you should da, da, da. And you should blah, 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 blah. And you have to be more like this. And you need to. It was always like a, you need to be better. Like, if you were that way, then you wouldn't have never done this. So it kept my mind in a position of inadequacy. Like, me always thinking I need to get to somewhere in order to be good enough. Like, if I was just in that place, or if I just operated in that vein, then I would be never, ever, ever, ever giving myself the space of self-acceptance, of just being me, who I am right now in this current moment. No, you need to be over there, because if you were further along, and if you were doing this, and if you were doing that, then you would have never made this mistake. It's because you are here that you messed up. So it made a lot of sense from the very moment that it was introduced to me. And I was very eager to learn, because I'm analytical. Number one, why I should. Like, why is it important for me to forgive myself? And then I wanted to know how. I'm typically like that with most things in life. I typically want to know why first and then how. I don't like wasting my time. I don't like doing anything that's not going to, you know, add some value to my life. I'm not the person who is, just for the most part, I'm very intentional about most things that I do in life. I don't sit around and just wait a lot for things to happen. I'm like, you know, I like to think I'm more of a go-getter. I like to put things in motion and put things together and go out and get what it is that I want. So when it comes to moving through life and doing that, I want to know why. Why am I doing this? Okay, why do you want me to show up? Why do you want? So when she was like, this is something that's important, this is, you know, a part of the process. Okay, why is it important that I forgive myself? And I think one of the very first things that I learned is that being aware of my limitations and who I am was the key to forgiving myself. So like I said, you know, the thought of always being in another place or further ahead was not realistic, because what is real is that I am here. And yes, maybe I could be smarter. And yes, maybe I could, you know, do this or do that or drink more water or whatever it was. Yes, maybe that is an option. But the fact of the matter is, this is where I'm currently finding myself. For whatever reason, yes, we can always aspire to do better. Let me be clear. I'm not saying that we should just be mediocre and not aspire to excellence. I'm not saying that. But wherever we find ourselves, grace should be as well. Because if we are here in this place, there's a reason for it. There's always a reason for it. Every single thing that we do serves us, negative or positive, in some kind of way. For me, not forgiving myself and forgiving the things that, you know, that I did that weren't optimal, it was a way, it was a means of protection for me. It was a means to keep me safe. It was survival mode. Wasn't ideal, wasn't beneficial, wasn't wise, but it protected me. So my brain was wired that way because it needed to do that in order for me to survive. We don't know what we don't know. So anything that's unknown, anything that's not within habit, anything that's not routine, our brains are like, so it's not just going to wake up one day and be like, damn, I didn't do, you know what? You did the best you could with what you had, and that's okay. We have to learn those types of behaviors, those types of thoughts. Just like we have to unlearn how to see, if you would have woken up 15 minutes earlier, then you wouldn't be late, dummy. You know what I'm saying? Like, those types of things have to be unlearned, and other thoughts have to be learned. So knowing our limitations and who we are as people, it gives us the freedom to forgive ourselves. If I know that if I go to bed an hour past what I typically go to bed at, that I'm probably going to either oversleep or be super groggy in the morning, then when I make the choice to do that, there's no reason for me to beat myself up over it. There's no reason for me to be mean to myself over it. I made a choice. I knew if I stay up until 11 instead of going to bed at 10, that when that alarm goes off at 6:15, I'm going to regret it. So we know, and we start to honor what our limitations are. No, ma'am, I cannot go with you to eat on Saturday night at 8 o'clock because I am going to be exhausted, or I'm going to be whatever the reason. If it's your limitation, it's your limitation. And being aware of it is what allows you to have compassion for yourself. For me, it was the constant struggle between who I thought I should be and who I actually am. This is who I am. This perception that I have in my mind, I shouldn't even say perception, but this picture of what I want to be, the person that I feel like I should be, is not lining up with who I am. So I'm constantly frustrated and I'm constantly judging and criticizing the girl that I am, because I won't just accept and come into agreement with this is who I am. I used to, for example, really hate the way that I laugh. I'm a belly laugher. I am obnoxious in my laughing, and I laugh from way deep. So when I laugh, it's very hearty. It's very loud. Very, very loud. And I always used to feel some type of way about it. So I wouldn't. In public, I wouldn't laugh because it was like, oh my goodness. You know, this is ridiculous. It's obnoxious. You're way too loud. Just be quiet. And I remember just recently where I was just like, this is the way that I laugh. Not one single person is going to be like, girl, shut up. In fact, somebody told me that I should put my laugh on this podcast and trademark it and make it a part of the show. So the things that we often put ourselves down for, or the things that we often try to dim, sometimes turn into our biggest attributes. I told you guys the story about my voice. I'll tell it again if there's somebody listening for the first time. I hate my voice recorded. I have since I was a little girl. I don't like to leave voicemails. I don't, all of those things. It bothers me to hear my voice. It used to bother me to hear my voice recorded. It was like the biggest fear. Like, what am I going to do? Go through life muted? Like, I have to talk. So the way that my voice sounds is the way that my voice sounds. There is absolutely nothing that I can do about it. But just imagine, had that fear completely taken over, there would be no podcast. Because even when I'm like, nobody wants to hear me, nobody wants to listen to me talk, like, my voice is just, it's deep, it's raspy, all of these things that started to come into my mind. Okay, so what do you want? Like, a surgery and a new voice box? Like, that is not who you are. Your voice is not high pitched. Your voice is not, so that the me always wanting to be something else never allowed me to accept this is who you are. And I think that self-acceptance and knowing who you are is directly tied to forgiveness, to self-forgiveness. Like, you okay, like, it's okay. It's who you are. And that's not to say that we love every single thing about ourselves. That's not realistic either. But I think we can accept every single thing about ourselves. And trust me, I'm still working. I am still working to get there. It is a daily battle. It is a daily battle. It's a constant reminder. But when I am in places where I'm just super, super down on myself, I can probably sit with myself and say, what is it that you're not letting go of? What is it? Like, oh, well, you sent that email 5 minutes too late. And like, okay. So, you know, forgiving yourself makes you realize the position you are in as a imperfect human being that makes mistakes every now and again. It just is what it is. You know what this means, and rather than beat yourself up over every terrible action you take, you can learn to tap into the benefits of forgiveness and be happy. And I think that is what is so very vital, is that we understand that being nice to ourselves, being kind to ourselves, giving ourselves the room to make mistakes, and again, you hurt somebody, You rectify it. You apologize. You make amends. You do what needs to be done. But you can also forgive yourself thereafter. I know that that's not, it's not an easy process. Again, I'm not here to simplify anything, but I do want you guys to know how this little key, this little piece, has helped me. Okay. So story time. July 4th, 2020. I was out with friends, partying, day party. It was outside. Yes, it was outside. So you don't have to judge me. I know we're in a panoramic. It was outside. So there was like, it was like middle of the day. It was the 4th of July. So there was lots and lots going on. And we were probably out and we were drinking probably from about maybe like 4:30. And the night didn't end probably till about 10. I should not have gotten in my car. That's just a fact. I got into an accident that should have taken my life. My car was flipped upside down, so much so to the point where I went to the lot the next day to retrieve the insurance and take pictures for the insurance company, and I did not recognize the car. I'm like, there's no way that's my car. I couldn't have been in that car. I didn't have as much as a scratch on me. My airbags did not deploy, but the seatbelt did lock in place. So I had like a bruise across my shoulder from where the seatbelt locked me into the seat. Not to go into too much detail, because that's not what this story is about. The situation, number one, with me having my life, right? So that being number one, I was not arrested. I should have been. My car, the insurance, everything was it was perfectly paid off. Gap insurance covered everything. There was none of that. I walked away like there was I walked away. There was nothing, like nothing. I think I lost one of my flip-flops that I couldn't find. Like there was absolutely no evidence that this thing had happened to me. The officer, he actually looked at me in my face in the city of Atlanta, and he told me, I know that you were drinking and I could have arrested you. Instead, handed me a ticket. Ticket that would have sent me to traffic court. I wept the entire night. Shout out to Simone. Love you, Simone. Simone was actually following me. She had a feeling that something wasn't right. She was following me home, and she was right there when the accident happened and drove me home. She spent the night with me, held my hand the entire night. I was so shook. Fast forward, you know, with COVID, this was July, courts being closed, everything being postponed. They moved the court. The first court date was October. But because the courts were closed, they were like, hey, you can go, you know, online, type in the ticket number, citation number, whatever, and see if this ticket is eligible to be paid online, which I did. I went, I typed it in. Like, oh, okay, it pops up $700 total for both of these tickets. There were two tickets, like striking a fixed object or and failure to maintain lane or something like that. So I did not hit another person. So I think that was part of the reason why I was not arrested. I literally like hit the curb the wrong way and the car just flipped. So I said, oh, okay, $700. All right, blah, 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 blah. I'll get around to it. So I closed out the thing, was going about my business, not even thinking about paying these tickets, right? They send me a letter in the mail and they're like, hey, here's your new court date, which was a couple of weeks ago. So I'm like, oh, okay, dang. These tickets, I could have paid them online. Let me go back and just pay them. So I go and I go into back into the, you know, the city of Atlanta, municipal court, blah, 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 blah. And I type in the stuff and it's like something's, it's not coming up. So I call. I'm like, hey, you know, here's the numbers. I just want to, you know, pay these tickets. And they're like, those tickets aren't eligible to be paid online. You have to come to court. And I'm like, now here I am in my mind. You did this thing. You got these tickets, which was technically a slap on the wrist. You have this $700. You will carry your tail up to that courthouse and you will give these people that money because it's the least that you deserve. Right. So I'm prepared. Money in pocket. Get there. I'm early. Okay. You know, it's COVID. So we're standing outside. They're calling in three or four people at a time. So we get up into the court, into the courtroom. And there's like a, you know, a court. I haven't been to court too many times in my life. Y'all have to pardon me. And this is Atlanta, which is different than New Jersey. So the whole court system, they operate totally different. So you get into the courtroom and then the court clerk is calling. He's calling people up. So he calls me up. And he says, hey, Shantae, you know, I said, yes. He said, okay. So he's reaching, he's like fumbling through to find the piece of the ticket that the officer gave, you know, so they give you the white copy, they keep the pink copy, whatever. So he pulls them. He's like, oh, it's two tickets here. I said, yeah. He said, okay. He said, well, what did you hit? I said, huh? He said, the officer said that you, you know, you struck a fixed object. First he said you were in an accident. I said, yes. He said, you were by yourself? I said, yeah. He said, well, what did you hit? I said, oh, the curb. He said, well, how fast were you going? I said, sir, I wasn't going fast. I just, you know, missed the turn. Like, I was thinking that I was supposed to be turning, but it was a curb. It wasn't an actual turn. And the way the car, you know, hit the curb, the tire, the car flipped. He said, how much damage was? I said, the car was totaled. He said, you were by yourself? I said, yeah. He said, you must have been so scared. I said, yeah, I was. He said, I'm moving to dismiss both of your tickets. Just have a seat. You know, the judge will call you up, blah, blah, blah. At this point, I am shaking. Like, what? Like, this doesn't even make sense. I deserve to be punished for what I did. I did this. It's not like I was driving, somebody hit me. Like, I did this. So I'm like, okay, so I'm sitting there and I'm in complete awe. Like, this cannot even be happening. So judge calls me up, good old city of Atlanta. The court clerk is a black man. The judge is a black woman. She's like, Chanta Pat. Like, she pronounces my first and my last name incorrectly. So I come up prepared to like swear. And she's like, no, you don't have to. She's like, I know I said your name wrong. How do you say it? And I said, it's Shantae. She said, I'm sure you've been hearing that your whole life. I'm like, yep, all 38 years. She's like, I'm so sorry I mispronounced your name. Oh, yeah, just so you know, we're dismissing your tickets. Have a great day. I'm sorry, Miss Judge Lady. You're apologizing to me for mispronouncing my name and wishing me a great day. Like, to me, it was just so, and I'm going somewhere with this. The reason why I'm telling this story is so that you guys know I left that courtroom and I still beat myself up. I still would not forgive myself, even though it was clear that God had already forgiven me. I was already forgiven. The situation worked out the way that it worked out because mercy and grace were upon me. That is evident. Who am I to not accept that forgiveness? And in turn, it's not to say that it's okay. It's not fucking okay to have any amount of drinks and get behind the wheel. I know that. And I will never know Uber and Lyft everywhere. It's not happening. So I'm not here to say, like, to make an excuse. And I don't think that's what self-forgiveness is. I apologize. I had the computer on. It was making those little sound effects. I don't think that that's what it is. I don't think that it's making excuses and giving yourself a pass or an allowance just to continue to do the wrong thing over and over. I think that it's being honest with yourself, for sure. You can own the mistake. You can own what you did. You can acknowledge it, but it is not necessary to deny that we are allowed to fuck up. And no, I did not make the right choice that night, but I can make it right by making sure that I never do that shit again. And that's really just it. And I had to really, really sit with myself, like, girl. And it was actually a conversation that I had with Jessica. Shout out to Jessica. She gave me the courage to even tell this story on this podcast. And now I'm about to cry. It's not easy to take the cape off, right? It's not easy to show vulnerability and to let this many people know I'm not perfect. I'm incredibly flawed. I make so many mistakes. I mess up and I don't always get it right. And I still deserve love, compassion, grace, and mercy. Still, even knowing those things, knowing who I am, truly who I am, not what I wish that I was, but who I am, settling into and accepting that is where my power lies. It is where I can look and say, this is the reason and this is the way and this is how I can really love myself and I can really forgive myself. Yes, I made a mistake. Yes, I fucked up. I did something that was incredibly irresponsible and reckless. And it did not work out for me the way it works out for some people. It didn't even work out for me the way that I deserve for it to have worked out. And I'm not saying, you know, that that is the only reason why I should forgive myself. But what I am saying is that because of God's mercy, I know that it's okay to let it go. I held on to that thing since July 4th, 2020. And it wasn't until a couple weeks ago when I left that courthouse and I was having that conversation that I was having with Jess. I was walking outside, exercising, weeping as I was walking down the street. And I realized in that moment that I had finally let it go, finally accepted, and finally forgiven myself. I hope that helps you guys. I really do. If I know nothing else, I know that I'm not alone. I know that if there's anything that I go through and I talk about on this show, that there's somebody who it resonates with. And that is the reason why I keep coming. It's the reason why I keep pressing record. It's the reason why I keep putting these episodes out for you guys. I used to apologize for being heavy and deep and emotional. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not apologizing for who I am anymore. I'm not apologizing for how I show up in the world anymore. And I'm not apologizing for the space that I take up. If it's for you, you'll listen. If it's not, you won't. Both of those things are okay. This podcast is going to land where it's supposed to land. It's going to help who it's supposed to help. Anything outside of that, I am not interested in. At all. I have absolutely no interest in trying to reach the masses if it means that I have to be disingenuous. I'm not doing it. So that's really just it. That's where we are. Thank you guys again for listening. If you made it all the way to the end, you are truly the real MVP. Dope as fuck. I mean, duh. Be sure to follow the podcast page on Instagram, taze.tidbits. You can follow me on Instagram at underscore I am Shantae underscore. Shantae is spelled C-H-A-N-T-A because my mom was different. Speaking of my mom, I recently did my ancestry test. So I don't know if it'll be back by next episode, but if it is, we will be discussing because baby, I am so interested to see what all is in this damn DNA. Thank you guys so much for your recent merch purchases. I said that I was going to take the t-shirts from being on sale, but they're still on sale. So if you want one, www.tazetidbits.com. They're available in a few different colors. And again, I know it's a little bit more work, but you can DM me. I can get any color shirt that you want. So don't feel like you're limited to what's on the website. Feel free to just send me a message and I'll order whatever color you want me to order. No problem whatsoever. I love you guys so much. I thank you so much for supporting me and for supporting this show. I encourage you to do your best. Always do your best. Reach out to someone who you haven't spoken to today. Do your best and still forgive yourself. Do your best and still fall short and be okay with it. Do your best and still love yourself unconditionally. Do your best and still know that in doing your best, it's not going to be the best for everybody. And that's okay. Do your best. Give your all, even if other people don't always identify and recognize. Some people are never going to be satisfied. Identify who those people are in your life. Cut them out of your life. But that's for a different episode. Yes, love someone, hug someone, kiss someone. We need more. There's not enough. There's not enough at all. Do it. But last but not least, do no harm, but take no shit. I love y'all for real. Peace.
Well, now 6 in forever. Rock a block, Rockefeller.
I'm feeling it. Feel the blast, you need to feel the moment. Feel the legs pushing up on the sand.
I'm feeling it.
Feel the high that you get from the line. If you feel
it, I keep it real in it most. I know you're feeling it. Crystals are nice, I like the toast. I keep on spilling it. Bone crutches, I keep real close. I got the skill for this. On my back, the flyers closed, looking ill as shit. Transactions illegitimate, cause life is still a bitch. And then you die, but for now, life, close your eyes and feel his dick. Since diapers had nothing to live for like the lifers, but making sure every nigga stay rich within my cypher. We paid the price to circle our success, they turn my mic up. I'm about to hit these niggas with some shit that'll light your life.